Always good to talk to you, Mike. Hopefully you're doing well and family's doing well, and everybody's stayed away from the crud, the sickness, stuff like that, aren't you?
Yep. Just staying healthy and on to state this week and then the boys next week. So hard to believe that we're at this point, Rich. It seems like we just started the season not all that long ago, but yeah, here we go.
I know it, Mike. I know it. State girls tournament, after all the subs and the districts here and gone, everything kind of turned out like you thought. And I'm sure there's some teams that didn't make it and some teams maybe you didn't thought was going to think was going to be there. They did make the tournament this year.
Right. You hit the nail on the head. I think most of the usual suspects are back, but, you know, there were a few surprises. And I think one that's out that way, Paxton was able to get back to state, the Tigers, and that was kind of a surprise. They're going to go as the number 8 seed, but still, the fact that they got there, and you know, we've got some returning champions coming back, we've got some teams that fell just short last year coming back for a chance at redemption, and a couple of schools getting there for the first time, so it's really a nice blend of old friends and new friends.
I think I saw in your article that all the champions from last year are back except for Class A. Is that right?
Yeah, Millard South did not make it back. So we didn't really expect them to because they lost pretty much everybody from that great team that they had last year. But, you know, what's kind of interesting is that Pender was a C2 champion last year, and they're in D1, and the defending D1 champion Centura is back, so that's a little bit interesting. North Bend has not had the greatest year, but they're back in C1, Rich, and they're going for their 5th straight championship. And of course, Elkhorn North, we know all about Britt Prince leading that team back to state, hoping for their 4th championship. And I think Britt is at, we've got her at 2,400 points. She's going to finish probably as the state's career number 2 scorer, so she's really been a generational talent that's been fun to watch.
And again, I think you and I talked last time, the great thing about that is she's staying right here in Nebraska to go to college, get a chance to see her right there in Lincoln to continue to see what she can do in the college basketball court as well.
Oh, for sure. I know everybody wanted her the last few years. Her mom, Ann, who's also Elkhorn North's coach, has kind of apologized to me when I've been covering Elkhorn North because she always had either a head coach or an assistant coach from a really big Division I program also wanting to talk to her right after the game, and I sort of patiently would just wait, but boy, everybody wanted her. The Huskers got her, and you see what Caitlin Clark has done for Iowa. Not to say Britt is the next Caitlin Clark, but on the Nebraska front, I think that she's probably going to be able to start from day one, and I think that fans are just going to love watching her in that Husker red.
Mike, we were down in Omaha on Saturday. We made the road trip for Omaha Scud and the McCook girls, and we found out firsthand what Omaha Scud is all about. I think if you look at the brackets, Scud's on one side, Elkhorn North's on the other side. All signs point towards them meeting and what could be a great championship match coming up again on Saturday.
Yeah, I think everybody would be surprised if it wasn't Scud and Elkhorn North again for the 3rd straight year, Rich. Boy, that was a tough draw for the Bison, but you saw what Scud has, and Molly Ladwig has really had a nice season for the Skyhawks, and Peyton McCabe, younger sister of Taylor McCabe, who was a star at Fremont High. She's another great player for the Skyhawks. Their only loss came against Elkhorn North. I saw that game. It was about mid-season, and Britt Prince just really took that game over in the 3rd quarter. I think she was 9-for-10 from the field, and she's able to do that. So, like I said, I think it'd be a surprise if those two teams aren't playing again in the final. So, but still, got to play the games to get there. But if that's the final, once again, I think it's going to be a great game. And Scud goes in actually as the number 1 seed, and Elkhorn North is number 2 seeded. So we'll see what happens.
Mike, that C1 bracket, wow. I mean, our good buddy Dave Coolin out of Bridgeport, we know Dave well, is 25-0 and a 4th seed. They got Minden. We know Minden, Southwest Conference. We know Sydney of what they've done this year. Broken Bone of the Southwest Conference, some familiar names from us out west, is makes up kind of half of that C1 bracket.
I'm going to make a preemptive strike here, Rich, because I know you're going to ask me which one's the toughest bracket, and I usually say C1, and I'll probably say it again because you really laid it out well there. Lincoln Christian is the top seed, but I think any one of those eight teams has a really solid chance of coming away with the title. Interesting, Lincoln Christian, their first round matchup is North Bend. I mentioned them. They're the defending four-time champion, and they had to win their district final to get in, which they were able to do that. So that's a tough one for Lincoln Christian right off the bat. I didn't see Bridgeport this year, but I was out there last year and I saw him play. And you mentioned Dave. He's done a really nice job with Bridgeport, and that Minden game is going to be a good one, the first round. Sydney's probably having one of their best seasons ever at 24-1. I used to work with a couple people from Sydney, so they've been emailing me, and, you know, Mike, keep your eye on Sydney. Don't forget about Sydney. We want you to talk about Sydney. So, yeah, they've been on me for that, and they've got Adams Central the first round, and GICC and Broken Bow will be another great first rounder. So, like I said, Rich, I think C1 really shapes up as one of the most balanced fields, number one seed to number eight.
Mike, we have really just one area team, and that's Southern Valley out of the RPAC Conference. And great season for the Eagles, 26-1, a three seed. And just talked to Coach McDonald the other day, and they're pumped. They've been there before, haven't gone as far as they want. But I think this year, in a loaded D1 field, it's going to be fun to watch. We're crossing fingers the Eagles can win a couple of games, get themselves to Saturday.
Right. You know, like you said, a great season for them, 26-1. They've got Elgin Pope John the first round. That one's kind of a toss-up, and I hate to kind of be redundant, but D1 is going to be really tough, too. You got Centura. I mentioned them. They're the defending champs. They're playing West Point, Guardian Angel, Central Catholic. They seem to be there every year. That's a first-rounder. O'Neill St. Mary's, they've been there in recent years regularly, and Pender, the defending C2 champion, is in D1, and Bancroft Rosalie is their opponent in that first round, and I think I'm going off memory here, but I think Bancroft Rosalie got in by winning a 4-overtime game on the road in districts, so that shows me something right there. But yeah, getting back to Southern Valley, they play at 7:45 at the Devaney Center. That's February 29th, so that'll be Thursday. So, yeah, they'll be playing the late game there, and, yeah, that should be a really good one. We'll see how far Southern Valley can go this season.
Overton has a chance for the second championship, winning it in volleyball. They're the one seed in basketball as well, and as you said, play Paxton, the opener, Falls City, Sacred Heart. We had a chance to kind of see them against Dundee County Stratton in the district final again last week, so D2 is going to be fun to watch as well.
At Overton, the only thing about Overton, and they're having a great season, 25-1. They've obviously got some great athletes there. You mentioned volleyball, but they haven't been to state in basketball in quite a while. I think it's been about 20 years, so that's my only concern there. But the fact that they've got state tournament experience in volleyball, I think will help them. You mentioned Sacred Heart. I think they're going after their third straight title. They're making their 28th trip to state, I believe, this year, which ties Lincoln Southeast for the most of any school. And, you know, another team that's in that D2, and they seem to be there every year, Rich, is Why Not? And the names change from year to year, but they play the style. They never really have any players with any height, but they have a lot of very talented 5'6", 5'7" girls that just run around out on that court like crazy. They full court press more than perhaps any team at state, and they just have a tendency to drive the other teams crazy just with the style they play. And they lost to Sacred Heart last year in the final by 1 point, so that'll be added motivation for them. But yeah, a really solid D2 field also.
And I always got to get your take on Class A, because it's primarily just Lincoln and Omaha schools in the 8-team bracket. You have a chance to watch a lot of those schools, and there's going to be a new champion there in Class A by the time it's all said and done.
Right. Millard West has been the top team in Class A pretty much most of the season. I did have Bellevue West ranked number one going into the season, but the Thunderbirds got off to a rough start. They were 6-6. I was kind of second-guessing myself, but they righted the ship, and they've won 12 in a row, so Bellevue West is really playing well. Millard West has a pair of twins, the Gessers, Nora and Neely. They're juniors, and they're going to end up playing together at some Division I school someday. I'm not sure which one it is. The interesting thing with them is that they're going to be a package deal for a college because they, like identical twins are, they're very close. They're not going to play apart, so that's going to be their future someday. They're playing Omaha Central in the first round. The Eagles upset Millard North in the district final, so Millard North ended up getting the one wild card in Class A. So, yeah, Millard West, 24-1. They've never won the state tournament. They finished as the runner-up three times. And we'll see if the Wildcats can finish it off this season. I don't know that I tend to foresee a Bellevue West Millard West final, and we'll see if that happens. But yeah, good Class A field again this year, Rich.
Mike, once again, all the games Wednesday through Saturday at Pinnacle and also Devaney. Of course, the third place games are played at some high schools, but everything else, you got the two big gymnasiums right there in Lincoln. That's always been kind of nice to everybody can just camp out for the day and watch.
Right. I really like what the NSAA did a couple of years ago, not to diminish the facilities at some of those Lincoln high schools, because they are nice, but when these teams are coming in from all over the state for the state tournament, they deserve the biggest stage, and down in Lincoln, that's Pinnacle Bank Arena and the Devaney Center, both great venues for the tournament, and it's a really big deal, obviously. Like you said, for the girls this week, for the boys next week, two great venues, great tournaments coming up, and hopefully fans can get a chance to slip down to Lincoln and catch at least a few games down there, because it's always something special.
And again, you and the rest of the great writers at the Omaha World Herald, they're going to be all over it, Prep Zone, all the stories, Twitter and everything. You're posting a lot of stuff Wednesday through Saturday, aren't you?
Right. Spread a little bit thin with all those games at those sites, but we get it done every year, and we pride ourselves in our high school coverage, Rich. My colleague Stu Pospisil and I have been working together a long time, and we've been covering the preps for more than 20 years together. So it's something we take pride in, and hopefully fans will follow our coverage through the World Herald, through Twitter, and all the other social media that they can follow us on. But yeah. We're looking forward to it, and it all starts this Wednesday.
Mike, always great talking to you, sir. Thanks a million for the time. Have a lot of fun this week, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Rich. Nice talking to you.